Thank you for that special. I appreciate that very much. And I want to say thank you to your pastor for the invitation. I count it a privilege to open God's Word anywhere. But this church has been an example for so many years. I count it a privilege to be here, and I want to say thank you. I want to say before I get started, I want you to find the book. I want you to find the book. There are a lot of people who have a Bible in their home, but they don't know where it's at. Maybe they haven't looked at it in a long, long time. And I want to challenge you tonight. Back in 1968, Brother Roloff challenged my family and I to read the Bible through, to memorize as much as we could. And you know what we did as a family? We memorized Hebrews chapter 11. Now, that's a long chapter, isn't it? It is. But it was good. And I want to challenge you the same way tonight. Many Bibles. There used to be an old convention type song, "The Dust Off the Bible." There's dust on the Bible. So I want to share with you tonight. That's all I have to share with you is the Bible. I want you, if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I know that this was written to young Timothy, a preacher boy. But all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for reproof, direction, for any of us. So what Paul wrote to Timothy, you and I can apply tonight. And so I wanted us to share some things. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want us to look at verse number 15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth the canker. And of whom is Hymenaeus? I don't know how to pronounce that. I've read it so many times. But sometimes my tongue gets tangled up. And Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and some overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Dear Lord, as we look into your word tonight, once again, I want to say thank you. It's a privilege to share your word. And I pray, dear Lord, that you'd teach us from your word tonight. I pray, dear Lord, first off, if there's anyone here that does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, that this might be the night that they would come to know him. And Father, for those of us who are Christians, may we be strengthened tonight and encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I call this a pattern for God's people. Everything has a pattern. Do you know it? In some places we call it blueprints. Some places we call it instructions. And in sewing, don't you call it a pattern sometimes? Well, God has set down a pattern for us, and he outlines it right here. And the very first thing I wanted us to understand is verse number 15. He says that it's not a suggestion, folks. This is not a suggestion. This is a command that Paul wrote to Timothy. And he said, study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God let it be put in the scripture for you and I. You know, many of us know more about sports than we know about the Bible. Am I right? We know ball players by name, don't we? Do we know God's heroes by name? Do we? Have we studied the Bible as we study a plan for a ball game. I'm not against sports. I played sports. When I was little, I played Little League baseball. Baseball was what I liked. I did play football some. I ran track. I understand sports. And I'm not condemning sports in any way, form, or fashion. I'm condemning what we as Christians do with it. On any given Sunday, you go to any sports stadium that's having a game, there'll be more Christians there in that sports stadium than all of the churches roundabout combined. But, and the reason is, we're ignorant of God's Word. And he said to Timothy, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In John said, Jesus said in John chapter 5, he said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. That's the scripture God used on me as a church member, as a good church member. He said, search the scripture. How do you know you're saved? Well, the preacher told me so. I said a prayer. I did this or I did that. What did you do in scripture for salvation? Search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Peter put it this way, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. What is the milk of the word? That's the simple things in the scriptures. That's where we start. You know, we can't start off as a Christian with homiletics any more than a baby can start off with a steak. You understand what I'm saying? The reason that most of us don't understand the scriptures is we want to be on the top shelf. We want to understand it all at once. You can't do it without studying. Study the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. And then desire them. Make them a part of your life. Like a child desires milk, make it part of your life. David put it like this in Psalm 1 verse 2. Talking about the Christian life. He said about the Christian, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And then he goes on saying, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. God says if we study his word, if we desire it like a baby desires to be fed, then we can come along and we'll know that. And one day, you know, how many of us hate eating? We started off with milk, didn't we? Baby food, didn't we? And then some of us like eating more than others, and I'm not going to get there. I'm not going there. But my delight is in the law of the Lord. And so should yours be. Every Christian ought to delight. The end of verse 15 says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do you know why church members get off into false cults and things that are not biblical at all? They don't know the Bible. They don't understand the Bible. Can I give you a little illustration? I was pastor in Harlingen, Texas, down on the Rio Grande border, and I got a call one day from Seventh-day Adventist pastor. He wanted to know if I would come on Saturday evening, the Sabbath evening, and preach to his congregation. I said, now, I'm a Baptist preacher. You know what my first inclination was? No. You know what God said to me? Did I just call you to preach to Baptists? Who needs the scripture more than people who have been deceived by someone who supposedly knew the scripture? So I called him back and said, I'll do it. And he said, afterwards, we're going to have a question and answer session. I said, all right, but I will not argue with anybody. I will not get into an argument. And so I finished preaching the Word of God. And there was a couple sitting in the front row. And they were the first to ask a question. And they stood up, and the first thing they said, we used to be Baptists. And my heart said, I pity these folks. Because either the church that they went to didn't teach them the word or they didn't listen. And they said, why did you change the Sabbath? I said, nobody changed the Sabbath. Saturday is still the Sabbath. Nobody can change it. Sabbath is the seventh day. Well, why do you go to church on Sunday? I said, because of the New Testament. And I began taking through the New Testament about how that the New Testament church met on the first day of the week. In fact, the Bible says, let every one of you lay by in store the first day of the week as God has prospered him. After about 45 minutes of that, we closed the service and the pastor followed me out on the parking lot. He said, I never heard anything like that. I never heard that in Bible school. Can I come sit with you and learn the Bible? I said, absolutely. Well, he didn't call me. I called him. His phone number had been disconnected. He was gone. I don't know where he went. But rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing it. And then number two, he said, shun. Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. What? Well, vain, profane. One of the things I dislike very much is profanity. And before I got saved, I used to be so adamant about it, I would embarrass people. I would embarrass my wife more than once. Because I hated profanity so much. You say, well, I don't cuss. I don't use profanity. Can I ask you a question? How close do you get to it? Huh? You know what happened to me one day? I was walking across the... I came back to Texas from California. I'd been in high school in California. And I was a smart aleck. I really was a smart aleck. I knew all the catchphrases. I knew everything. And I hooked up... You know, birds of a feather flock together, don't they? My best friend, the guy that became my best friend, was a preacher's kid. Have you ever heard stories about preacher's kids? And boy, he and I got along together. Now, we wouldn't cuss, but we used slang. And one day we were walking across the park in the parking lot, and this guy was walking along with me. I didn't know him from Adam. But the other guy did. And I noticed he wasn't joining in much with the conversation. I was doing all the talking. And this guy turned to my friend and he said, he sure uses Jesus loosely, doesn't he? That man is a preacher. He was best man at our wedding. And I took what he said as instruction for the way that I talk. Shun profane and vain babbling. And you know one of the biggest problems the church has? Tale bearers. Ooh. That's a whole sermon in itself. But suffice it to say, Proverbs 26:20 says, where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. Watch what you say. When you say it, who you say it to, and why you say it. Okay? This is what he's talking about. And then he said in verse 19, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Oh my, that's a sermon in itself, isn't it? I'm talking to the cream of the crop of Christians, a Sunday night Christian. Okay? I was one before I got saved. I was one. Then I got saved. But he says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. What are we doing that we shouldn't be doing? Huh? What are we doing we shouldn't be doing? How do we know what to do from the Bible? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You want to know how to live? Get in here. You want to know how to talk? Get in here. You want to know how to act daily? Get in the scriptures and depart from iniquity. Samuel said, I've kept myself from my iniquity. Samuel had iniquity? He sure did a lot for God, didn't he? But he said, I've kept myself from it. And Paul said to Timothy, depart from it. You know what depart means? Get away. Go. And then, here's something else. He said, purge yourself. Purge yourself. We judge everybody else, don't we? We say, well, so-and-so needs to do this, so-and-so needs to do that. Don't we? Don't we look at somebody and we say, they need to do this. What they need to do is get with God and you let them purge themselves. If a man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. If a man purge himself, he doesn't need anybody but God. When I was convinced that I was not saved, there was nobody around but me and God. And God told me, you're not saved. I looked around to see if somebody was in the room with me. Nobody was there but he and I. Okay? And when it comes to purging ourselves, we need to do it. And then run and flee youthful lusts. Flee youthful lust. You know what disturbs me? Many years ago, I saw a bumper sticker. It was on an elderly couple's car. They were driving down the road and said, I'm a recycled teenager. And then there was another one. I refuse to grow up. That person's in trouble. And then there's these, and you see these on the back of travel trailers, motorhomes, quite a bit. I'm spending my children's inheritance. Huh? Well, in Hebrews we find that strong meat belongeth to them that are full age. We talked about that a while ago, didn't we? And it only tastes good when we flee youthful lusts. The things of God that brings us closer to God, that lets us grow up in the Word of God, does not coincide with the things of the world. The youthful lusts. Go ahead. Grow up. It won't hurt you. It won't hurt you. I promise. Conclusion. You know what that means? There's more to come. But you got to have something to say at the beginning of the end, right? You have points. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, however many.
And you get down to the end, and the only points you can say is conclusion. Verse 22 says, follow righteousness. Look at it with me, would you? Look at it with me. Verse 22. He said, flee also youthful lusts. Let them that call on the Lord out of pure heart, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. You know what we need to do? We ought to follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. How's your heart tonight? Is it pure? Or is there something we need to take care of? Did you know I learned a long time ago, keep a short account with God. I want to see the hand of the person that's been perfect ever since he got saved. Come, don't be bashful about it. You ought to be. We're all in the same boat, aren't we? Uh-huh. We're all in the same boat. And therefore, we ought to be part of those that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. The only way we can do it is to follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. God said, call unto me, and I will answer thee. Amen. Did you know that's not maybe so, hope so, working on it, trying to be? That's a promise from God. When we get a promise from God, we can take that to the bank of life. Do you know it? We really can. And if we follow after righteousness, faith. Through faith, we understand that the world were framed by the Word of God. Faith is a necessity in the Christian life. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. When we seek God, we need to seek Him with the faith that He has the power to do whatever we need. He has the power to cause us to do what we need to. Did you know there's one word in the Bible that has stuck in my mind for years, and it's the word if. The biggest little word in the Bible. God said, if you will, I will. If you will, I will. If you don't, I will. If. What I'm trying to say to us tonight, our relationship with God needs to be so personal. When we talk to Him, we sit and listen, and we hear from Him. The reason we don't hear from Him is we put in our order and then hang up the phone. I was telling a pastor tonight, Brother Romoff was an awesome person. I loved him. He was a friend of ours. In fact, he was at our house on Sunday before he died on Tuesday. But I told him, Brother Roloff would call you. Did you know he'd never say hello? He'd never say goodbye. He'd just start in on the conversation he wanted to have and then click. And that's the way some of us are with God. We don't give Him a chance to answer. When He said, call unto me and I will answer thee. And show thee what? Great and mighty things that thou knowest not. I want to say tonight, I'm glad God got a hold of my heart I spent 20 years. Somebody told me to say a prayer, and I did, and they said, you're saved. And I spent 20 years believing that. Long time. And I knew there was something wrong, and I would do. I read the Bible through about 6 or 7 times before I got saved. But I knew there was something wrong, and I couldn't get a handle on it. We were in California in the days of the Vietnam War. An old master sergeant, a member of our church, came to me one day. I was the youth director. I wasn't a pastor. I worked a full-time job. But he came to me. He said, Brother Brewster, he said, I'm a drill instructor at Camp Pendleton. I've got 90 kids all going to Vietnam, and most of them are not coming home. And I don't know. And he would weep. What can I do? And you know what? He and I got together, and we started the military ministry. We had an old bus that the church wasn't using anymore, so I asked the pastor, can the youth department have it? And we refurbished that old bus, and we got it on the road, and we drove 90 miles one way. And we got down to Camp Pendleton. He told us where to come, and he said there was nearly 100 that we'd put on that 66-passenger bus. We drove them back to Los Angeles, preached with them, prayed with them, saw many of them get saved. And it got so bad that some of them were coming on Sunday nights. Some of them that had a car, they'd drive 90 miles on Sunday night to come to church. Can you believe that? Amen. How far did we drive tonight to come to church? Oops. It's too far to go on Sunday night. We had to go rent a bus, take 2 buses. And then, God sent me to Albuquerque, New Mexico. And in our church, now Albuquerque's got all 5 of the military represented there in that town. And I asked the pastor, why do we have a military ministry here? He said, because you can't get on the base. And I said, can I try? It took me a long time, but I got on the base. We had 75 in our college career class. Many of them I led to the Lord. Some of them are preachers right now. But you know what? We left Albuquerque, and it was about a year later that God convinced me that I wasn't saved. Don't tell me you can work in the church. You can't work in the church and not be saved. I was a preacher's friend. You can. And you can do anything in the church. In fact, let me say this and I'll close to you. A Christian can do anything that a lost person can do except go to hell. Do you realize that? A Christian can do anything that a lost person can do except go to hell. By the same token, a lost person can do anything that a Christian can do except go to heaven. I've heard preachers say, you can't do that unless you're saved. Hogwash. The devil can convince you of anything. Father, thank you for your word tonight. And I do pray, dear Lord, if there's somebody here tonight that may not be saved, Lord, would you direct them? Would you answer their call as they call on you? But dear Lord, I pray for those of us here tonight that we'd get excited about studying your word, that we could get excited about applying your word to our heart and life. And Father, I pray that in this invitation time, that you'd have free reign in every heart. For we ask it in Jesus' name.